We have exactly 1:07 in the afternoon. Just time to do the officials, which is to tell you this is KVMR FM, Nevada City, as ever and always these last 30 years or so. Also transmitting from our translator, K286AN in Truckee at 105.1. You are listening to the Zentech Radio Show, which is a regular event here. Our website lists former shows and what we're up to today, God willing. That site is zen.kvmr.org. If you click on the link at the top of the page that indicates shows, we have stuff for today, and we thank, as ever, for about a year's worth of blogging done by Alex Fetzoff, the transcripts of the show. Fairly complex stuff coming up after the news from Cory and Red, so rather than a transcript, at some point within the next 24 hours, what he talks about will be archived as audio, and you can click on our links from the show, and you will be able to see this stuff. The news, we're going to talk for about 10 minutes about news about security and programs on the internet and so forth. And then we'll be talking to Corian Red, internet marketing specialist, about social media marketing. First up is happy 20th birthday to the World Wide Web. And let's be clear about this. The World Wide Web is the origin of the web browsers that everyone thinks is the internet. So the forerunner of what we now know as Internet Explorer and Opera and Firefox and Safari and Camino and all those funny name things. The whole ability to click on links and go places is 20 years old this week. There's a link on the top of the site that takes you to the world's first website, which was info.cern.ceh. This was the Center for Nuclear Research in Switzerland, where Tim Berners-Lee was working. And he by no means pioneered the original notion of hypertext linking, but he brought it together in the first way by clearly delineating in a standards document how to do this. And when you look through the link I provide there, you'll see the best example I've ever seen of asymptotic growth. In other words, within the first year, there were 20 other websites. Within the next year of 20 years ago, there were 200 websites, and then, as they say, the rest is history. The website's interesting because it actually shows you what the world's first true web pages actually looked like, where there were maps in Switzerland of the research accelerator and the likes of that. Pretty interesting stuff. Happy birthday, Tim Berners-Lee, and the 20th anniversary of the web. It's approximately, depending on how you count it, the 50th anniversary of the integrated circuit. The concept of the integrated circuit was first dreamed up by a British scientist with a peculiar name, and he conceptualized that the components that you had in an electronic circuit didn't actually have to each have their own housing. It was possible to actually manufacture everything on a single substrate, which included all the essential components of an electronic circuit, which is resistors, inductors, capacitors, and semiconductors. And that was around 1952. About 1958, a U.S. scientist actually managed to achieve what we currently know as an integrated circuit. And basically, the density of electronic circuits has been increasing by twofold every year. The speed of CPUs has doubled every 18 months. The actual density of stuff crammed onto a chip has been doubling about every year. As usual, I'm having a bit of trouble looking at our website with Internet Explorer. It remains true to this day that Firefox does a better job of that. So one of the links there may not work. So we talked so far about happy 20th anniversary World Wide Web, 50th anniversary of the integrated circuit. Another link I've got here that may be of interest is, jumping around a little bit, is privacy issues on the internet. People tend to make the statement, well, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, why should you be concerned about whether people know your caller ID or your buying habits or what type of laundry soap you've got? It's intriguing to think that once you've let go of the information, you can really never get it back. So there have been issues where, for example, in Britain, where they have a national card identity system that they're attempting to install, that already there have been problems with some of the collated data being stolen and used to blackmail people. Credit card fraud has already been committed with data collected by the government being used by rogue employees. So if you think disgruntled employee in the post office is bad, imagine what the rate of disgruntled employee in your government office is like. There is a little piece of sound I'm going to attempt to play you here from the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. Kind of sums it up. I hope it works. Let's have a quick try, see if Internet Explorer can blow it for us.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Want to stop this from happening?
There you go. So the link's up on our website about that. It's actually from the American Civil Liberties Union. I'm not saying any of this has come true, but some of it's already out there. You know what I mean? So we willingly give away information that we wouldn't allow our government to take away from us. I wonder, what do you think about that, Corinne?
Try to keep my information to myself whenever possible.
That's right, yeah. You got a good alias, so you're probably Joe Smith, not Corian Red, right?
Yeah, well, you're going to find me if you're looking for it.
All right. So we've got 1:15 in the afternoon. It seems suitable at this point to engage the main part of the show. Corian will be talking for a little bit about social media marketing. What we want to be clear about when you make call-ins to Corian after we've done some of this is that he's been here before talking about search engine optimizing and about Google Webmaster and Tools, and we'll be brushing on that a little bit. This is making a basic assumption about two things, that you've got some kind of business or non-profit or some sort of organization like KVMR or Music in the Mountains or, you know, whoever the heck it is up here, and presumably you've already got yourself some kind of website. We've had shows about that before, how you'll get yourself mousetrap.com or bicyclesforless.com or whatever it is. The second part is what we talked about back in November, and you can find it on our website, which is it's no good being out there if you're not being found. So that we talked in November, and that was very popular, about how to get your website actually located so that people will be drawn into it and will contribute to your capital campaign or do whatever it is that you run your website about. So why don't you say a little bit about yourself, Corian, and what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Here's my elevator pitch. My name's Corian Red. My business is batteriesforless.com. It's a number four between batteries and less. We're an online e-commerce merchant selling cell phone batteries and accessories. We've been in business for 10 years, and our backbone has been internet marketing. And the key aspect of that is being able to be found on Google. So if you're online now, you can go to Google and type in cell phone batteries or phone batteries, and you're going to find us at the top there. It's something that, as we've developed our internet marketing strategies, one thing I've kept my eye on is social media marketing. So how do you interact with communities of people that are interested in what you do or what you know about? And that can be as something that everyone's heard about going on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. Those are all websites that people listen to or have streams to as far as social aspects of it, as well as being able to go into communities where people are discussing what you do, so forums, et cetera. So we're just working to get into that now and develop the same level of expertise we've had for internet social marketing, search engine optimization, so being able to get those rankings on Google. We found out that they really do work well together. So that's why Paul's asked me to come back on to focus on that and give you some basic strategies for how you can take your business or your nonprofit or your website and be able to find people that are interested in what you know about and interact with those people to be able to get them back to your information and whether it's if you're an e-commerce business, it's getting to the shopping cart and checking out, or if you're someplace that does consulting or a service, it's getting to your lead form, having them do what it does to support your nonprofit or your business.
So we've got a number of nonprofits in this area, and a lot of KVMR listeners have got sometimes one-man nonprofit organization or some sort of business. Let's assume they've already got a website. And you thought of a couple of good examples before. For example, mountain biking, and there was something else. What was it?
Guitars.
Yeah, guitar, yeah. Guitar pickups. There's some good examples there. So you've lead mountain biking expeditions, or you've got a fancy guitar pickup of some sort. You've got your website, fancyguitarpickups.com or bikelikehell.com or whatever it is. And you've done the stuff we talked about back in November to get yourself found, and maybe you've even paid for AdWords or whatever it is. What comes next, Corinne?
So social media marketing is finding out the communities, the forums, blogs, where people are passionate about what you do and what you know about. So using the example of mountain biking, it would be a matter of finding those communities. An example would be going to Google and typing in mountain biking forum or mountain biking blog. Those are going to be... I hope I wasn't cut off.
Nope.
Good. I've done so good so far. So it's finding those forums, finding those places where people are discussing your topics. So the next step that I recommend is finding the opinion leaders there. Find the people that post the most, the people that have the most intelligent, well-thought-out opinions, the people that get the most comments on what they post.
Let's pick the example of mountain bike. How would you go about it?
So specifically, I'd probably start out by going to Google and typing in mountain biking forum, or if there's some kind of specific idea that I want to get out there. So say if we focus in components or on repair, I'd look at mountain biking repair forum. Mm-hmm. That's going to give you a result from Google of forums that are discussing those topics. So then I would first start out by doing some research there, find out which ones are actually legitimate and have a fairly big user base, which mm-hmm. ones actually seem to have good information and links to good information.
And as you pointed out, if you're the person that's got any level of enthusiasm in what you do for your nonprofit, you'll probably already be aware of where that discussion's going on, right?
Yeah, and I think that I'd recommend also going back to the drawing board and doing these initial research steps, mm-hmm. because the internet, as you know, is a really quickly changing place,
right.
And there may be a lot of corners of the internet that you don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. So going through and looking through those results are going to find some things that you do know and some new ones that you haven't found yet. So once I find a forum, the things I look at are just in general, what's the quality of this website? Does it look like there's a lot of users? Does it look like there's active discussions? I've been to plenty of forums where I see that for several of the major groups, there hasn't been a post for the last couple of months. That doesn't sound like a place that I really want to spend much time interacting in.
It's easily found and live.
Yeah, and you just see that there are going to be active discussion. So you're going to see that there's multiple comments per day or multiple posts per day. And then from there, when somebody posts something, if you have a forum that's being used, there's going to be comments. People are going to have their opinions about whatever's been posted there.
So at this point in time, you're suggesting that the Google search people perform for mountain bikes, for example, or mousetraps, include the word blog
and
forum.
Yep.
Forum, yeah.
Yep. So, and forums are the place where I really like to start because it's something that there's a low threshold to entry. So there's going to be a fair amount of people who are going to be involved with those, and it doesn't take you much to be able to fill out a basic profile. They're always free, mm-hmm. and be able to start interacting. So then the next step is that most forums have got some kind of ranking of different users. So they'll show you which users tend to post the most or have posted the most over time. So what I like to do then is something that I don't do outside of the internet very much, is I like stalking those users.
Is stalking an appropriate word, or would you rather use lurking?
Lurking is fine. it's not threatening. Yeah, it's not threatening, so lurking is probably the better way to do it. I just try to think I'm badder than I actually am. So what I'll do is find out those people that have those intelligent opinions, that get a lot of interaction when they make a post, and find out what are they talking about. Mm-hmm. What kind of things are their specialties? What's the tone of their information? So most people in a forum are not going to be out there hawking their products. Mm-hmm. They're going to be really working to be experts in a particular topic area and sharing their information. So I'll spend that time in the forum learning what's going on and then find out also what are the top topics. So if we're going to that mountain biking forum and I find out that components is a major topic, or I find out that my mountain biking trails and sharing that information is a topic, I'm going to try to find out where my knowledge intersects with those things that are being discussed the most. Next, I will start interacting with those people that are the opinion leaders, the people that really tend to have that good information. So, for example, every Monday, I might go to the mountain biking forum, and I might search for user A, B, and C, these are the people that I've identified, really tend to have good information. And if they have something they've posted that I can make an intelligent comment on, or I can provide information to the discussion, that's going to be my primary goal. That is opposed to somebody who doesn't post that much, who isn't going to have as many eyeballs. It's really a matter of getting those eyeballs and knowing those people that are active in those communities, they're also going to be tracked and watched by other users.
Now, can I interrupt you at this point to say, when we're talking about these forums, we're talking about what used to formerly be known as bulletin boards. You're going to reach a website where active dialogue is going on between at least a few dozen people back and forth in what they call a threaded conversation. There's questions and answers, questions and answers. You're identifying the leaders by looking at the bit that says how many posts this person has made. Is that true?
That's right. And there's other, you know, there's often other specialized tools to be able to look at that information.
Right.
But most profiles are going to have something that a lot of times they have visual rating systems now. Mm-hmm. Or they have something saying, oh, this person's a guru versus a novice. And they're going to give you an idea of who are the people that really are out there providing their power users. People
it's how often they've replied appropriately to people's questions.
Or how many times they've posted, yeah.
Now, here's an important distinction. You've said that we're going to go on Google, and we're going to look up blog, and we're going to look up forum, and we'll end up on a variety of different websites. Some of them were intended for mountain bikers, and others are intended for people making guitar pickups. This brings up the question of Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. Where do they fit in with this?
Well, most of those different – well, let me focus on Facebook, and also there's a great website if you're in business called LinkedIn,
right.
LinkedIn.com, that there are going to be specific groupings of users around a topic area. So that's similar to finding those passionate communities. But I like the more community focus on a smaller scale because it really means that if somebody's going to mountainbikingforum.com, they're really going to be somebody that's very interested in that specific topic. As far as LinkedIn or Facebook goes, there's going to be groups of people that are going to be discussing some kind of topic area, particularly in LinkedIn because I'm involved with internet marketing. I'm involved with a variety of different internet marketing groups that have different specialties.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I come across something in my course of my work that I don't know the answer to, it's often going to be something that I go into LinkedIn and I pose that question to the group. For example, one of the questions I pose to LinkedIn groups is, how can social media marketing, SMM, support SEO, search engine optimization, and my ability to get ranked on Google? So I've posted that out there to see what do the experts have to say about those particular issues. Now, one of the parts of my main focus for doing social media marketing is finding the places where I can generate links back to my website. So a major backbone of getting ranked on Google is something called PageRank. PageRank is the quality score that Google has for any particular website or page for the quality and quantity of incoming links. So even if you have a perfectly designed page, if you don't have those links coming into your page, then you're not likely to be found. You're not eligible to compete. So, for example, one of the things we'll do within these forums is look to find the places where simply by having a link in your signature or having a link in your profile, those links will be cumulative over time and they will start adding up so that you have the ability to compete more and more on different search engine phrases.
Now, we're talking about getting away from an older technique to raise your ranking, which was called link farming, where you arbitrarily dumped links on remote sites. We're not talking about arbitrarily dropping links on remote sites, right?
Yeah, and that brings up a good point, which is when you're doing aspects of social media marketing, you shouldn't farm it out. It should be something that you, as an expert in the business and your top staff members, should be the ones that are making these comments, that are making these posts, that are interacting with blogs, that are writing your own blog that then is synergistic with the other ones that are out there. So, for example, don't go and look for some place that's going to do some social media marketing from India because they're going to be looking for quantity, not quality, and that will come back and bite you.
Let's take this example. There's plenty of operations up here that have some of them are so completely non-profit they don't even actually have any paid staff at all. So let's consider an operation with four or five people. They've got their domain name. They've got rank there. Who should be assigned the task of doing this, and how should they do it?
So it's something that you can assign some of these tasks to people who are lower level in your company or an intern, for example, to do the research portion that I mentioned. So it's something that is pretty reasonable to be able to have somebody go out and find where are these websites where these topics are being discussed and who are the people that are really discussing it. And the other thing I didn't mention is what topics per forum or what website are being discussed. So, for example, we talked about the biking. If we find out that people are talking about biking gear or biking trails, I might want to create a system where my intern is going back on a weekly basis. They're checking forums A, B, and C,
mm-hmm.
And they're looking at these different users that are popular, as well as doing a search. Almost all forums are going to have a simple way to search by keyword for components, or doing a search for mountain biking trails, someplace where you know that you're going to be able to provide good quality information to that discussion. Another key aspect is don't hawk your products. An important part of this is to be able to set yourself up with prestige, show that you are an expert in the field. Don't hide what your business or your nonprofit is, but don't necessarily say that, hey, you should come and donate to my nonprofit because this is something related to mountain biking trail building.
I'm completely put off my stroke there. I was thinking something. What was it?
I don't know. I'll go back to one thing. You mentioned Twitter.
Right.
So that's a growing area of the internet where people are putting out feeds, where tweets are, where you can send a very simple text message with whatever you're thinking about or whatever you're doing, whatever information you want to put out there. The structure of Twitter is such that people subscribe to your feed so that whenever you put out a tweet, it's going to be going out to a group of people. And there's been examples where this has been used successfully in business, but it really isn't a tried and true technique yet, because one of the things that I was discussing with staff members today is that a lot of people on Twitter get infatuated with it for the first few weeks or a month, and then it drops off pretty quickly, because it takes a lot of work to think of something new and fresh to be able to use put into Twitter.
I know what I was going to ask you. It just came back to me. And that is, obviously, you're suggesting that a nonprofit with a low number of volunteers and whatnot, somebody should be assigned the task of visiting these forums and populating the forums. And then you mentioned something that requires a concerted effort, which is the fact they should go back there and follow up on what's happened. How do you keep this organized when somebody, for example, may be contributing to 12 different forums that they're supposed to each visit once a week to see how things are doing and not let the links die? How do you organize that?
Well, in general, whenever I look at a marketing channel like social media marketing, I try to do my best to create a system around it. Mm-hmm. So specifically, somebody would be assigned these top forums where you know if you make comments, you make posts, they're going to be counted as links back to your website, and the quality of information is good. And be able to have for each one, say for Forum A, here are the users you want to look at and here are the specific topics you want to search for. And also it's something that, as far as that systemization, create the articles or the blog topics that are discussed there that then you can post information on your website. So if you find out that a lot of people are talking about, again, we're going back to the biking example of mountain biking trails, if you can write an article that highlights the best trails in your area or the best trails nationwide, so the next time that you do have your intern doing research there, they find out, oh, somebody just posted a question, where to find trails around Nevada City, you're going to have an article information that you can put a comment up and say, hey, read this article on my website that will give you good places to go to be able to do mountain biking in this area. You can make sure that the information and the content that you're developing in your website works well, is complementary with also these different communities. And you'll develop relationships there.
So it should be self-sustaining. So if somebody's contributing to a forum, presumably if there's a reply to your posting, you'll get the email and the intern should actually follow up on that and go back there and respond or do whatever, you know, keep the thing going.
Yeah, and there's another great tool that I'd recommend to anybody that's in business. Paul, do you know what a clipping service is? This is from the days before the internet.
I vaguely remember something like a Money Matters magazine that had abstracts of all sorts of different headlines and stuff. Is that what it is?
Well, more or less, it's finding out when your business gets press. So you would subscribe to a clipping service. I actually worked for a nonprofit in Portland, Oregon, that had their business name for their nonprofit name for a clipping service. So when they got press, they could send a basket of fruit to that writer and say, hey, you should also know about these other legislative efforts we're working on.
So it's a non-internet way of doing what we're talking about.
Well, it's a way of specifically finding out where this is being discussed. So Google has created this through their news searches so that you can create alerts so that specific topics, keyword topics, or your business, you'll get an email about that. So,
and this is called Google Alerts?
Google Alerts. Okay. So here's the basic idea of how you do it. Let's use that mountain biking example. So I would go to Google and I would type in mountain biking trails. And one of the links on the top of Google says news. So I would click on that, and that's going to give me results from periodicals and also from blogs and forums and other places that are the new media. If you look on the left-hand side of the screen, there will be a little link that says make this a news alert.
How do you? I'm getting regular responses here.
So are you on the news section? So on the top, you'll see that there's web, images, video news.
Gotcha.
So click on news, so that's going to keep you in the bucket of just news results.
Gotcha. And it says and last hour, last day, past week, past month.
Yep. And then once you have that keyword, for example, our business is batteries for less,
mm-hmm.
I will create that as an alert. So every time that there's a blog or forum posting or, in particular, a periodical newspaper or magazine that uses our business name, I get an email that alerts me to that.
Okay, this is important, though, to realize, first of all, that people should be searching the news part of Google, which is otherwise
yes.
news.google.com. And the second thing is that you must actually be signed in to do this, correct?
Yes. So it's something that you don't necessarily have to have a Gmail account. Any
right.
email can be used for these Google tools.
Uh-huh.
But if you're in business or nonprofit, I really recommend that you start looking into these Google tools. And there's a few that I've mentioned in past shows that are free, and they're really important to be able to have specific information. So for example, tracking your site through Google Analytics.
So the first thing is to get yourself an account on Google.
Yeah, and it's something that, again, you don't have to create a Gmail account, but you can simply put in your email address and connect it to Google with a password.
Okay, and at that point, we're looking at this. I'm not signed in, so I don't see it, but on the left, you'll say create an alert for the
yeah,
news
items.
Yeah, and
it'll say... make this a news alert, and then from there, you can pick what type of news you want. So do you want just newspapers? Do you want blogging? Or I usually do comprehensive. So I want to have information about from a variety of sources, so blogs, forums, newspapers, etc.
So you're talking about what happens when that news becomes newer because something new has appeared on the site that was found.
That's right. And then I will set it up usually as an email that will come to me once a week so that I am able to get these emails that say, all right, an example that I talk about in my classes is that for my business, we sell cell phone batteries. So it's really important when somebody comes up with a scientific breakthrough, mm-hmm. where instead of replacing your battery, you just take your Pepsi and you pour it in the back of your phone. My business is pretty much in trouble. That's when I got to go find some schmuck who doesn't know about it and sell my business. So it's really important for me to know when an article that comes up, breakthrough found to replace lithium ion, I need to know about that in a timely fashion.
So let's reiterate that, and it'll be on the webpage, I think. Very useful. Got to have an account and sign in, and got to use news.google.com clipping service, which is what
it's called. Google Alerts, yeah. And I use the reference to clipping service for old school people like you that may recognize
that. I didn't
actually
know what that was.
So I really recommend that if you have your business name or your name should be a Google Alert, so that if somebody writes press about your business, you can be able to act on that. So the way it ties into social media marketing is that the example I just gave for lithium ion, if I find that article related to that, I want to be able to take action in my business. So also to find topics related to what's interesting for my business, I have Google Alerts, for example, for cell phone batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that if there are articles that are out there that have interesting information about cell phones or cell phone batteries, that I can be able to create a blog entry, or I can go into these forums and find out what's being discussed there. And also it's going to give me links from Google to these blogs and forums where they're discussing these topics. So right there, Google's doing the work of the research for me to say, oh, hey, check out this forum and see where people are discussing this topic that you might want to be able to interact with the discussion.
So that same intern that you spoke of, this hypothetical, hardworking intern at a nonprofit, would be assigned a dual task. One of them is to populate the blogs with knowledgeable articles, and the other is to put up the Google alerts to be aware of when information changes that he should know about. Be the same person?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you just have to pick the people that work well. The place that you can stumble is if you have people that are actually posting information that's available to the public, that's not good information.
The reposting is not good enough.
Well, it's not just even a matter of reposting. It's something that you can make mistakes. You can put non-factual information out there. You can sound too much like a salesperson opposed to an expert. There's a lot of places where you can make mistakes doing this. So really work to focus on how to become an expert, how to gain prestige in these communities.
Let's do a bit of station business. Sorry,
yep.
Corinne, to interrupt you. Here's the station business, which is first of all and most importantly to let you know it is 1:36 in the afternoon. You're listening to the ZenTech Technology Radio Show. Our guest in the studio is Corinne Redd talking about social media marketing, SMM. We've got some other acronyms we're going to chuck out. I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit more about things to not do, and then we'll have some call-ins. But it is important to thank our underwriter for this present hour. They made it possible in part, and that is Omsoft Technologies, a regional family-owned internet service provider started by UCD students in 1997, providing internet services to suit individual needs. Committed to customer privacy. More information is at omsoft.com. Omsoft, the enlightened internet solution. Having said that, it's 58 degrees outside. I think Glenn is on the line as well. Are you there, Glenn?
I sure am. How you doing?
Boy, I'm sorry about that. I've kept you on hold for a while. Glenn Farr, co-host, is down in Sacramento, and we have Corian Red in the studio. Have you been hearing what's been going on?
I have been listening to the show. Hi, Corian. How are you today?
Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm good. And hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Super duper. What we're going to do with Corian is have him tell us the things to not do. We've described many things to do, and then we're going to invite callers, and we can throw our six pennies worth into the mix as well. Might as well mention the website. You will see this stuff within 24 hours. The audio archive will be up. zen.kvmr.org. Quickly, how do they reach you? And we'll talk about it at the end as well to talk to you directly.
All right. So first of all, I'm more than willing to do email communication with people that are developing this stuff and try to get you references so that you can be able to do some of this research on your own. It's the way that I've developed my knowledge around internet marketing is I went to school at University of Oregon as an environmental studies major, and I think a lot of my professors would probably roll over in their eco-friendly graves if they knew that I was sending a...
That was my major as well, so what the heck?
Gravitate toward technology. So my email address is Corian, Corion, that's my first name, @gmail.com. Also, I'll be teaching two classes coming up on this that are sponsored by the Nevada County Economic Resources Council. First is a week from today, Monday, May 11th, and the next is the following Tuesday, Tuesday, May 19th. Those are at 7 to 9 p.m. You can find more information about those at the NCERC website, NCERC.org. Also, you can email me, and I can send you a flyer or information about that.
And this will be given out also at the end of the show, and it will also be linked on our website, so it's going to be easy to find. Tell us about mistakes now, Corian.
Now, I'll spend a little bit of time, but I want to make sure before we take calls that I talk about some of the specific goals behind doing social media marketing. Now, as far as mistakes go, just in general, work to become an expert there, gain your prestige and information, your expertise, before you start going back and saying, hey, come to me and buy a product or service. So, for example, one of the ways that I saw this being used well is I went to an internet marketing conference where a company that made craft scissors decided to hire four middle-aged crafty women to go out into social forums and become experts there. So they didn't try to hide their identity. They had a profile page that said they were working for this company, but they also didn't necessarily hawk the products. So what they did is over time, they gave a lot of good advice, and then when the company was ready for it, they went back to these forums and said, hey, we're thinking of doing promotion A, B, or C. What do you guys think? The response was overwhelming. They got people coming back and saying, instead of having to pay for a focus group, this forum acted as a focus group, or these forums. So they decided, okay, the best promotion you could do, decided by the users, was when you send out the scissors for free, they would engrave your name onto the blade of the scissors. People loved it. So it was something that the community acted to pick that particular promotion.
Unless you find out what people really want.
Yeah, and then when they launched it, they went right back to those forums and said, you guys decided this is the promotion we're going to do, and their business responded very well from that. They sold a lot more scissors because people felt like they were part of that process. If you want to also learn how this is done well, there's articles about Tony C. from Zappos. Zappos.com is a footwear company now going into other clothing lines where they, for example, have a Twitter feed where even though this is a multi-million dollar company, people can subscribe directly to what the CEO of the company has to say, and they really feel like they're part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
They see what it's like for Tony to be able to run his business and run his day-to-day operations. So that's a goal that I'm going to be doing. It's something that I've done a lot of research and talking about this. Now I'm ready to start my Twitter account and be able to do a lot more blogging because now I think that the audience is there. I think it's a mature audience that actually will get benefit from seeing what I do as the head of an e-commerce business.
Here's a good example, and that is musicians, as we know, are not exactly rolling in money, but they've got a commercial interest in being paid for what they do and getting gigs and so forth. And a large number, I wouldn't say all, but a large number of the musicians right here in Nevada County have got something on Facebook, some kind of forum, something out on CD Baby. So you're part of this prog rock retro band, Corian. How do you go about making sure that you can find out when people want gigs? Or let's put it right in that context. Here's something you haven't done before. You're part of this new retro prog rock band, and you're going to get people to come to your gigs.
Okay. First, would I need a sense of rhythm to be part of that band? Because I may not be able to.
Maybe the wrong color to do that, but that's okay.
I'm just the wrong brain to do that.
Okay.
So the idea, for example, would be the way Twitter would work would be able to put your information that's out there, that's quality information, that then you can promote through a blog or through these other forums, saying, if you want to learn more, subscribe to my Twitter feed, or become a friend with me on Facebook, or join my group, my network on LinkedIn.
Now, there's a good point. How do you make the difference, the distinction between already being known and coming from nowhere? I mean, there's plenty of groups up here that are already known, and it's only required that you find them to see what they're doing. Now, you're a new lineup. How do you get found?
Well, one of the simple ways is going back to old-fashioned branding. So if you're working to be able to promote your business through a blog, make sure that every email that you send has a signature to your blog and say, learn more on my blog. And it's something that this stuff is not going to be overnight, but it is going to take some consistent effort to be able to get that information out there. Put it on your printed material, put it into your website, put it onto your email signatures, and then also make sure you keep the information updated. Nobody's going to want to follow you on Twitter if you don't put out good information, or if you don't put out information very regularly. Same thing with blogging. That if you have information that really does show about the inner workings of your business or about the topics that are important to you, people will gravitate to that.
So you're talking about some people actually doing what they're already doing but modifying it by adding a signature with a link in it, for example.
Yep. And it's something that this stuff all fits together pretty well. So, for example, a lot of businesses and nonprofits are really aware of how to do press releases. So how do you find topics, either with things that are going on with your business or nonprofit, or in the world in general, that you have a strong opinion or an informed opinion about that you can spin into a press release and actually get it onto KVMR or the Union or Sacramento Bee or the larger world from there? So this is the system that we have in place for my business is we have Google alerts for specific topics. So we find out what's being discussed, what articles are out there that get our brains steaming and get us really into some interesting topic areas. We then have multiple staff members that have access to a Google spreadsheet. So you can go to Google Docs. It's a free service where you can have a spreadsheet that anyone can go and log into at any time and put an entry. So we have a press release spreadsheet that also can be used for blogging topics. So if I go and find something this weekend when I'm going and surfing the New York Times, I'll put a link to that article and say, hey, here's some ideas about how we can bring our opinion and our information to be able to make that more direct and more informative to our user base.
We haven't addressed it yet, but you mentioned earlier on there is a measurable response to what you're doing, which was page ranking.
Yes.
And you do that how?
So another Google tool is Google Webmaster Tools. It provides you information from Google's point of view about your website. The two primary tools that we use, first of all, is Google Linking. It's part of Google Webmaster Tools, is the linking report, showing you which websites on the Internet link back to your website and are being measured by Google. So, for example, if I spend a lot of time and money with my staff doing this, I know that one of my goals is to be able to provide these links back that in turn will support our ability to get found on a Google search for cell phone batteries or for a particular model number. Now, with that as part of our tool basket, if I do work on a forum and I find out that after making comments, making posts, whatever it is, we don't actually see those links being measured, even if it looks like the community is a pretty good community, I'll probably make that a secondary goal because it doesn't meet my goal of getting those links.
Hmm.
The other key tool from Google Webmaster Tools is a query report that'll actually show you which keywords you are ranking for in Google in different areas. So, for example, in Google Products or Google Web Search or Google News, what are the keywords that your website is actually getting some ranking for?
Okay, we're strictly talking about, then I learned this buzzword from you last time, which is organic results.
At this
point, when it's time and effort, there's no actual outlay for getting these things done. It's the time and effort to actually have the links placed and the forums entered and the experts information put out there.
Yeah, and it's just a key aspect of Internet marketing is if you have a chance of not paying for something, that's the better way to go. So there's also Google AdWords, for example, that are the sponsored links that come on the top and to the right-hand side of search links that you actually bid for. So my company spends a lot of money there because we know how much it's going to cost us to get a customer, but it's a lot higher return on investment if we simply get results in the mainframe of organic Google results.
So it is time-consuming, the fact that you've now got the fact that you have to make sure the page is found with conventional optimizing, that you're being linked back to from the forums and blogs that you belong to. And not only that, but you can't then sit back and say it's now going to stay okay. You have to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
all the time.
Now, I know we've only got a few more minutes for the end of the show, so I'd really like to hear from people that have those kind of areas of expertise, that either if you've done a blog or if you're doing Twitter, I'd like to hear from people. And any questions that you have, I'd be more than happy to do my best to answer.
You know, I haven't given out the phone number. Let's do that. We've got one line on. It's 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. The last 10 minutes or so of the show, Corinne Redd's talking about social media marketing. So let's try and address the questions to our expert here. Let's face it. And fire it up by saying, good afternoon, call. You're live on KVMR.
Hi. Thanks for having us on. Just a couple of comments about social media. Been using social media for about 4 months now, Twitter specifically, and I'm a little over 2,500 followers. And the way I like to look at social media is LinkedIn is the boardroom. That's where your major meetings taking place, your online social community. That's where your meetings are taking place. Facebook, the conversation continues on outside the hallway or by the the copier, water cooler. Twitter, it continues on.
Oh, good heavens. I'm so sorry.
She was the best caller you've ever had, Paul.
I'm trying to get Glenn back on. I'm sorry. Well, I've got you, Glenn. Let me hit you again there. Now you're on
okay.
VIP. I should have done that to that caller. Caller, would you please call back? I was enjoying that a lot. That was perfect.
Okay.
Now there's a deathly silence. Like, well, she doesn't like us.
No. She'll call back, hopefully.
I think
just showing that as a success story, when you've got 2,500 followers on Twitter, it really shows she's the person we should ask the question to, is how did she build that many followers? Because that's the goal. And it's something that she's got information. She was talking about going from that water cooler conversation to those tweets where it can be comments from things that are just in the moment, that are little bursts of information. And I think that's something with a lot of the businesses that are out there. You've got that going on in a daily process with your business and your employees. How do you provide that to people who are really interested? An example would be there's a NEEK NCOBB news group, which I recommend anybody in town subscribe to, that provides just information for them. So somebody posted that recently and said, how do I get rid of blackberry bushes? There were a few comments, and then a friend of mine, Paul Smith, posted that he put that out to Twitter and said to his followers, he's an environmental consultant, how do you get rid of blackberry bushes? And he had people responding back to him with some really good ideas, which, by the way, you dig out the roots, you cover over the area with plastic, and then put a few inches of soil and try to get some cover crop to replace it, like thyme.
Now,
so thank you, Paul Smith.
So if you're the sort of person that actually sells the material that you can cover over the roots with, that's where you'd go to post your link back to the site that sells it, right?
Sure.
We'd appreciate a call back from that call. That was pretty interesting. What do you think of that? What do you think of this so far, Glenn?
I'd like to know about her business too. She didn't introduce herself.
Yeah,
so
please
I'd like
do call back. What do you think of this so far, Glenn?
Oh, it's great information, and the internet and all of the things that you can do with it is just increasing by leaps and bounds. It's amazing. You know, when did Twitter start? And things like Facebook. I know MySpace has been around for a long time, but I think they're becoming so much more popular now.
I thought it was interesting. They've started in the young demographic in college years, and I think originally it was either MySpace or Facebook. I forget which one. Didn't actually want anyone that wasn't in that environment, and now the largest demographic using it are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, I saw an interesting demonstration when I went to a social media conference, an internet marketing conference, where the lecturer said, okay, raise your hand if you're on Facebook.
Right.
And three-quarters of the hands went up. And he said, raise your hand if you're on Facebook a year ago. And about two-thirds of the hands went down. Raise your hand if you're on Facebook 2 years ago, and there were about three hands left. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you're on Facebook 4 years ago. And there was one person with their hand up, and he said, were you in college? And the guy kind of smiled and said, yeah, I was in college.
Right.
So the question is not how long have they been around, but how quickly are they being adopted? And it's something that we're in the time where that information, that word of mouth, is now spread onto the internet. And that's how people find information. They want to find information about a product. They don't want to talk to an expert in the business. They want to hear from their peers.
Okay, I'm going to check and see if we've got that call back. I truly hope so. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on KVMR. You really are live on KVMR, you know.
An arts group, and we are looking for ways of getting our message out and obviously recruit resources. Can you just give a quick summary of how to use Facebook, and I'll take my answer from you.
How much did you of that did you catch? There's a lot of noise.
Yeah, it was an arts group who wanted to get their information through Facebook.
Right.
So, and it sounds like we were at the ocean there, too, so maybe you're an arts group with sea landscapes. I think, in general, again, keeping the quality of your information and also looking to find out what other groups are out there. Can you become a moderator of another group that's parallel to what you do? Where can you be able to cross-pollinate through the other groups that are already existing there and be able to find friends? So, for example, I am members of different mobile technology and mobile phone-related groups, and I will get friend requests simply by the fact that I'm making comments on these different groups because people want to know more about what I have to say.
I'm going to see if I can field this next call. How's that? No, I'm going to field this next call. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on Zentech.
Hi, Paul. We got disconnected. I was the one talking about Twitter being a cocktail party.
So glad you called back. I'm sorry there's a background noise. I think the tide is back in. Go ahead.
I don't know where we got left off.
You rather well talked about the boardroom being LinkedIn and then sort of going down through those ranks.
Okay, so the way I look at social media, it's an online community platform for you to engage and do online social networking. LinkedIn is more of a formal setting to do your online business social networking. Facebook is where the conversation ended at the boardroom. Now we're at the water cooler, at the copier. It's a little less formal, a little more casual. Twitter, the conversation continues on Twitter like a cocktail party. It's very informal, a lot of fun. You're engaging people. You're not pushing. You're not trying to push your product or selling product on Twitter. You're just having fun. Now, does that mean you don't sell product? Absolutely not. You just engage. You socialize. You network. And, oh, by the way, I have this company or this product. I'm going to link it back to my website. And so that's how you gain followers. As I mentioned, I've been on Twitter for about 3 or 4 months, and I'm over 2,500 followers. And I have found it to be a phenomenal tool to grow my prospective database. I do use Google Alerts. I use the comprehensive level. But I'm getting updates as it happens. So when I'm sitting in front of my computer and an update comes up, boom, I'm tweeting about it, and I'm getting it retweeted, and it's driving link juice back to my website or to who our company is and what we're about and what we're offering.
Now, how did you get 2,500 in 3 or 4 months, which was our question?
I'm happy to come on your show and explain that.
Is that Brenda or Barbara?
This is Brenda Horton with HWare.
Oh, hi, Brenda. I kind of thought it was you, but I couldn't hear you through the heavy tidal swell we had going on there.
Yeah, and we were one of the first people that got involved with the bulletin board at Sacramento. We've been involved with technology for over 27 years and been using internet marketing, and we're just heavily, heavily involved in social media now, and just found Twitter to be just a phenomenal, wicked weapon of a tool for any type of business, any type of voice, anything you want to put out there. It's just an incredible tool.
Would you say that what you do then has finally settled on those five top websites, which would be LinkedIn, Facebook, MySpace, Google, and whatever it else, you know, a couple of bulletin systems?
I would say the three biggest players right now are Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Videos are going to soon be replacing text. People want to see this person. They want to talk. They want to hear this person's voice. So videos are getting really, really big. So when people are doing a search on Google and they have the choice between clicking on a text message or clicking on a video, they're going to most likely click on a video because they want to see this person. They want to make a connection with this person.
I got to say, by the way, it's become a lot easier than it used to as Google acquired YouTube some time ago. You can
right.
now use your Google account to sign in there. And I've managed to upload videos that came straight off my camera. It's by no means as difficult as you might think.
Oh, it's so easy. Videos are going to explode. They're about to explode.
So whatever you get up to, whether it's mountain biking, showing people falling off their bikes, or whatever it is you think would draw people in, as long as you make a video of it, you're in business doing that.
Exactly. And you're repurposing it. It's not that you're only doing videos, and it's not that you're only doing blogs or you're only doing blogs. You're taking one subject of your content, and you're repurposing it into a blog, a video, you're tweeting about it, you're putting it up on Facebook, you're putting it all over the internet. You're using specific tag words for search engine optimization. So it's called repurposing your content. And what you're doing is you're creating link juice back to your website.
Now, Brenda, we've only got, I think, 4 minutes left, and I have to do the station business. Corian's got a comment on this. We'll sum it up, and then we will call it a day. But we invite people to visit zen.kvmr.org and also to email us at zen@kvmr.org. You had something to say, Corian.
Yeah, Brenda, I definitely wanted to thank you for your call and say that, first of all, the other way you can repurpose it is those videos can also support your website content.
Absolutely.
So, for example, we're filming videos for my company now about what to do when your phone gets wet. How do you save your phone? Or how do you replace your cell phone battery, et cetera? Now, that's a place that we can put that out to be able to get that onto YouTube to get traffic there.
Right.
But also, we can put that on our website so that if you're in information or a fact section of our page, there's going to be video listings.
Absolutely. And what you do on YouTube is maybe you do a two-minute video, drive that traffic from that two-minute video on YouTube, drive them to your website, and maybe you have a longer video, an educational video, maybe 10 minutes. So now you've got them, you've got their attention, they're on your website, they're ready to hear what you have to say.
Guys, I have to do some station business, and we'll sum up with how you can get connected with Corian and the seminar he's doing for the Nevada County Economic Research Council-sponsored talk next week. It's fairly obvious, but it's legally required that I tell you. You are listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, community radio station 89.5, also from translator K286N in Tracket 105.1. For aiding and abetting, in part, the past hour of programming, the Zen Tech Radio Show, we'd like to thank our underwriter, Ohmsoft Technologies, a local internet service provider focused on customer privacy. Ohmsoft donates a portion of its proceeds to the Davis Community Network, providing internet and web resources to nonprofit community groups, and that's throughout Yolo County. Information is at dcn.org. Apologies for dropping you, Glenn, but it was making a noise like the Pacific rolling in, and Brenda's left in disgust as well because of all the racket. But thank you. We did actually have Brenda on the show some time ago, and she was working with a related subject. Her husband does the technology, and she does this work with somewhat with social media marketing. I'd like to thank Corian Red for having been in on the Zen Tech show today, talking about SMM, social media marketing. Quick bit of contact information, how to reach you and your seminar.
Yeah, so first of all, again, my name's Corian Red, and I can be reached through email at Corian, C-O-R-Y-O-N, at gmail.com. I am more than willing to help out the business community here in Nevada City, Grass Valley area. It's actually one of the main reasons that I teach classes, is that it's something that this is information that can help you grow a business, and it's not arcane, mystical knowledge.
And musicians and nonprofits, everyone will benefit that needs to be found, basically.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm business-focused because I run a business, but it doesn't mean that the same information can't help you for whatever your pursuit is. I'm going to be teaching two classes coming up. They're going to be at the Nevada County Board of Realtors on Monday, May 11th, and Tuesday, May 19th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. You can find more information at the ncerc.org website, and you can also call them if their information isn't obvious on the website. So if you have any more questions about this stuff, just give me a call. I'd be more than, give me an email. And if you're nice enough in your email, maybe I'll call you.
Tell him a good joke and he'll answer. Only time to let you know that the website that covers the show, ZenTech, is zen.kvmr.org. My email address, the presenter of this show today, and co-host Glenn, both of us, zen@kvmr.org.